Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world. And we are archived on awfradio.com. Let's go to line number one. Welcome back to the show. I always love talking to this guy, Dorsey Hager. Dorsey is executive director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Website, columbusconstruction.org. Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. BuildCentralOH. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Thank you for having me. Even though it doesn't feel like spring in Columbus, and I'm sure it doesn't feel like spring in Cleveland, at least spring training is upon us.
That's right. Spring training and opening day, March 26th in Cleveland. How about that? Just weeks away.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Hopefully the weather cooperates and we're lining the field and raking the dirt and not shoveling the snow.
Yeah? Exactly. I've seen those days and they're not pretty.
Exactly.
All right. You have a legislative conference you want to talk about. This is the Building Trades Leaders Conference. So when is it? What's it all about? Go ahead.
Yeah, so every January we get to meet all the leaders from around the country, which is great because we get to exchange ideas, talk about not only national politics, but maybe things that are being worked on at the local level. And a couple things came out of it that was really cool. Obviously, the National Building Trades leader, Sean McGarvey, updated us on some things. The infrastructure bill updated us on some of the things with pension reform, which was pretty interesting. But he also talked about how the building trades is trying to actively market more to our membership, specifically in states where early primaries were going on. So they've noticed that if they market to our membership and they market in local newspapers, social media and stuff, like in Iowa before the caucuses were going on, that they noticed that, like, the Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, obviously, would see some of that stuff, or their staff would see some of that stuff, and they would get up and they would speak in their town halls and discuss some of the issues that were important to not only, you know, labor and organized labor, but also the building trades, such as Davis-Bacon and prevailing wage, right to work. So it was good to hear that update from Sean. We also got some political updates that were kind of frightening, dealing with the NLRB board. And, you know, usually when a president is in power, in office, the NLRB board is slanted that direction. So,
Oh, yeah. You
know, obviously when Obama was in office, there was 3 Democrats and 2 Republicans. And now that Trump is in office, there should be 3 Republicans and 2 Democrats. But the president hasn't replaced the 2 Democrats right now. So right now the NLRB board is ruling on decisions that affect labor and are going to affect labor for a long, long time. With only 3 Republicans and no Democrats, so really a slanted bipartisan board. Some of the things that board is getting ready to come in front of them, which probably will not work out well for us, is one is wearing union badges and T-shirts. So, you know, during organizing drives, you know, whether it's companies or contractors or customers, you know, the workers there will wear pro-union, you know, buttons, you know, like SEIU,
right,
or iron workers, or, you know, IBEW. Well, they're getting ready to hear that, and there's a real fear that they're going to rule, and I think it would turn over about a 72-year precedent that was set by the Supreme Court. They're going to rule that that they can't do that, that workers, while working for an employee in an open shop environment, can't wear pro-union propaganda while they're on the job site or on the workplace.
Oh, boy.
So that'd be a huge blow to organized labor. The other one that was interesting, that not necessarily maybe will affect us, but it could affect some of your larger unions like AFSCME, SEIU, your teachers' unions, is, you know, a lot of teachers, you know, will have a work email address, and they use everything for that work email address, including communicating with their coworkers. Well, obviously, they're not allowed to communicate with their coworkers during working hours. You know, that's, you can't do that, but you can communicate with your coworkers during non-working hours. They're getting ready to rule that's going to make it so it's illegal for union members to communicate with their coworkers dealing with union issues with their work email address.
Mm.
So just some little things like that that
yeah.
are coming out of D.C. that I think maybe a lot of our members, you know, they see the stuff and the rallies and the build the wall and stuff, and they get all fired up. But then when you talk to them about the NLRB, you talk to them about some of these decisions, you know, I don't think a lot of it's on the front page with our members, and a lot of them don't see that stuff.
So. No.
But Yeah, they also, you know, they talked about the legislative conference coming up in Washington, D.C. It's the last week of March, goes March 29th to April 1st. And, you know, we have a volunteer day where we do some things at the Veterans Memorial, help with some stuff around D.C. and some projects. And then we have 2 days of seminars and 2 days of speeches where I'm sure we'll get to hear from all the candidates that are running for president. And then we also get to go down and lobby on the Hill. So I'm busy setting up meetings right now with some of our local congresspeople and some of our senators to get our guys in there to talk to them about some of the issues that are affecting us right now. And, of course, you know, one of our biggest proponents for organized labor is Joyce Beatty, our congresswoman down here. Her district's the east side of Columbus. But she's got a tough primary fight on her hands right now. You know, they moved the primary up to March 17th. So I know that she's working on that. And, you know, she was one of the congresspeople that voted for the PRO Act a couple of weeks ago. And she's been a very, very pro-labor person in the House of Representatives for us. So I want to make sure that we give that information out, get our members out to make sure that they do everything they can to make sure that she stays in there for us. So she's being challenged from the left with a primary opponent here March 17th. So
oh, my.
It's going to be interesting to see. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of weeks. But we've got members signing up to knock on doors, to handbill, call time, early vote center, all that stuff. So hopefully we can keep our congresswoman in there.
So she's not progressive enough. It's just like the Tea Party. They didn't like some of the Republicans. They wanted to go farther to the right, and now on the Democrats they want them to go farther to the left. Is that what's going on here?
I think that's what's going on. And you know, there's a lot of conversation. You know, I'm the most recent debate that I watched, you know, there's a lot of conversation about Medicaid for all and things like that. And I've had that conversation with several of our people in Congress on both sides of the aisle. And they've asked my opinion. And yeah, we believe that everybody should have health care. But, you know, Medicare for all, I don't know if that's something that we can totally back or get behind, because, you know, we've taken, you know, we've bargained collectively for 100 years to improve our health care plans, and then to have somebody come in and say, hey, don't worry about that health care plan that you've invested in. We're going to do away with that, and we're going to put you on this government health care plan, and it's going to be so much better. I think that's going to be a little bit difficult for our guys to really grasp. So we're having those conversations and stuff, just trying to educate them about what's being, you know, talked about on the debate stages, what's being talked about, you know, in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and then leading up to March 17th
in
Ohio.
That was a big issue with the culinary workers out in Nevada with Bernie Sanders. They were really up in arms about the Medicare for all because of what you just said. They negotiated a pretty good plan there. So, yeah, there's a lot of information and misinformation out there. That's the sad part about it. But hopefully it'll all settle down here once they decide who's going to be the candidate. I want to go back here a little bit. You touched on something about the, for instance, the union buttons in the workplaces. And I know a lot of members out there, the trades, you pointed out the hot button issues, build the wall. Of course, that's going to result in some jobs and all that. But some of these other issues are just not on the front burner. How do you plan to do that? That's the question. How do you plan to reach out to these union brothers and sisters and say, you know what? There's a lot of things going on that you are not aware of, and you need to be aware of these things. So how's your approach on that, Dorsey?
Well, I think like most people in this country, I think a lot of people get probably 80-90% of their national information from the national news. And depending on which news that they watch, you know, that news may be slanted or maybe only be reporting to what their audience wants to hear. So I think a lot of our members are maybe only getting information from one, you know, component. What we're trying to do through social media, Facebook, also Twitter, and then also our website and our blogs on our website, and, you know, any newsletters that I send out or anything that we do through the Labor Citizen, is we're trying to make sure that our members are educated, you know, like we said, not only on, you know, immigration reform and pension reform and things like that, but they're also educated on issues that are going to affect them every day. Like we talked about some of the organizing issues with the NLRB. We talk about some of the judicial appointments. You know, I've mentioned this before on your show. I have a friend of mine's very prominent labor attorney here in Columbus, and he's had clients bring him cases that 5, 10, 15 years ago were slam dunks that he's not even going to take you know, take to court, because he's fearful that with some of the judges that have been appointed recently, that they'll overturn 50, 75, 100 years of precedence, and then it'll be something that we'll never get back. So, you know, I think I saw a stat that, you know, the president and the Republican-led Senate have been confirming federal judges at a crazy pace. I think they're at like 22% right now. So 22% of the judges in this country that sit on the bench are appointed by Trump, and they're saying if he could get another 4 years, obviously he'll have a mandate then, because he won't have to face re-election again. And he keeps the Senate, that number could climb as high as 50 or 51%. So if you think about some of these judicial appointments, how important they are to organized labor, if they're slanted that sharply for business and against organized labor, it's going to be very difficult to turn that back, and we're going to be looking at facing this for the next 20 or 30
years. Oh, yeah. Lifetime appointments. It's going to stay with us for a long, long time. Yeah.
Yeah, the other big issue that really affects the building trades that the NLRB is getting ready to hear is, right now, you know, card check, you usually have an election within 8 to 30 days. So that's good for a couple of reasons. One, it doesn't give the company a real long time, you know, to educate or miseducate their workers against the union. And two, it helps us because it's quickly, not quickly done, but it's done, you know, at a good speed. So there's not a lot of legal fees involved. There's not a lot of, salaries involved with our reps, our organizers and stuff like that. The NLRB is looking at pushing that back. And instead of having hearings in 8 to 30 days, pushing that back to 90 to 100 days, which obviously would be an incredible expense on all of our local unions and any of their organizing efforts.
Wow. All right. Let's move on to this Columbus State bond levy. Maybe you can explain what that's all about to our listeners.
Yeah, so Columbus State Community College here in Columbus is one of the largest public universities in Central Ohio. I would say it's probably second only to Ohio State. There's 45,000 students at Columbus State. There's your traditional students, but there's also a lot of adults that are going for certifications, maybe re-education, changing jobs, or just increasing their job skills to make them more employable so they can make more money to provide for their family. So Columbus State's a huge economic tool here in Central Ohio to not only help us keep businesses, but also attract businesses, because we have this large institution that can very, you know, inaffordably train the workforce for today and tomorrow to help us keep a lot of these, you know, the Facebooks and the Googles that we've talked about on your show. So Dr. Harrison reached out to me a couple of months ago, and he explained to me that they were looking at putting a bond levy because, obviously, you know, secondary funding has been tough. You know, expenses are going up, maintaining buildings is going up, and the funding from the state is not keeping pace. So they have a lot of buildings that they want to renovate. They have some new buildings that they want to do. They also have a lot of mechanical systems upgrades, roofs to be replaced, things like that. So he's going to put a bond levy on the ballot in the March 17th primary, $300 million. And obviously he wanted our endorsement from the Columbus building trades. So in meeting with him, I talked about, you know, some of the hot button issues here in Columbus and in the community: fair contracting, the use of community benefit agreements, you know, to make sure that we're not just choosing the best contract or the lowest contractor, but lowest and best. And then also the continued diversification of the trades and hiring local people. So, you know, Nana Watson, NAACP president, came out and endorsed the levy. Her and I had some conversations about it, especially, like we said, when it came to diversification and local hiring. I had some great conversations with Dr. Harrison. I've had a couple follow-up meetings with him, as well as his construction crew. We've exchanged proposals on the use of community benefit agreements in the future, so we decided to come out and endorse this bond levy, and I think it's going to be good for Columbus and the whole community.
Real good. Okay, I got to take a break. You're listening to America's Workforce. Dorsey Hager on our live line. Dorsey's with the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Coming up, we'll talk about the Driving Futures graduation. Also going to fill you in on an apprenticeship fair that's going to be at Max Hayes High School. Later in the broadcast, Karen Walsh will be joining us. Karen is head of the local collaborative to end human trafficking. Really, really riveting information that she's going to lay on us. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes. Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world. Don't forget, we archive everything on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager, one of our regulars, on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. All right, talk to me about this Driving Futures graduation. You've touched on this in past shows. You can fill us in on what's new here.
Yeah, we had our pilot program, which we started out with 10. We graduated 9, and our graduation was a couple of weeks ago. The graduates were extremely happy. They went through the soft skills, the financial literacy, the driver training. They all passed and got their CDL. And out of the 9 graduates, we've already placed 6 in jobs with the Teamsters, where they're represented by the Teamsters. They're making a good, living wage with a full benefit package, health insurance, pension, and annuity. County Commissioner John O'Grady was a keynote speaker. He came down and spoke. Of course, you know that our Driving Futures and Building Futures programs are part of the Franklin County Poverty Assessment Task Force, where we're helping to get people out of poverty or getting people out of minimum wage jobs into good living wage union jobs. And I think that we're accomplishing with this program. And just one highlight at the graduation, which was really, really, really cool, is we had a young lady who was working, and she was making a decent living wage, but because of the expense of the CDL and some of the training involved, it was very difficult for her, living paycheck to paycheck, to be able to get her CDL license. So she applied for the Driving Futures. We got her in, got her through the graduation. She got her CDL. And then the very next day, she went to work, had her own truck, a route, every day, home every night. And she immediately increased her wages by $11 an hour, which is a $22,000 a year increase, plus full health care package and all the benefits to go along with it. So just thinking about the impact that we made on her life is really making this program something that's special and that a lot of people here in the community are starting to latch on to and realize that it's the way to help some of the people in our community who have been left behind in this economy get, on that path to the middle class.
So they picked up the cost for the CDL license? Is that what they did?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's nice.
Yes. The county has provided funding to not only help with all the wraparound services and barrier removal and the training that we do, like I said, the financial literacy and all that stuff, but they've also picked up the cost of the CDL training. We're working with a company here, which has been a tremendous partner to do the training. Of course, Leland Bass, our program administrator, Julie Machieski, and then Josh Kincaid from the Teamsters has been working their butts off to make sure that this first class was a success and that all the graduates had a great experience and are available to go to work. And, the Teamsters are a little bit different than the iron workers or the electricians. When a young person or an adult graduates from Building Futures, we place them right into an apprenticeship program with a contractor. The Teamsters is a little bit different with intent to hire. So the reason why 3 of those 9 graduates haven't went to work yet is they've all, and we've helped them, we've walked them through the process, they've all applied, they've all had interviews. Now they're kind of weighing their options. Do I want to go here and drive a concrete truck? Do I want to go here and, drive this? Do I want to go here and do that? So they're kind of weighing their options based on the employer, the amount of pay to start, some of the benefits and stuff like that. But they're all going to be good, middle class jobs with full benefit packages through the Teamsters. So that's a good thing.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know there's a truck driver shortage. I mean, some of these firms are paying signing bonuses to come on board. And with overtime, you could be making 6 figures driving a truck. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And I had this conversation with somebody at a political event last night. And we were talking about this, and, this is a subject for a much, a show at a later time. We have much more time. But I think that you're starting to see, led by Sherrod Brown and also some people on the other side of the aisle, returning that dignity of work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe 20 years ago, if somebody would have came to me and said, hey, I got this job here. You can be a garbage man, and we're going to start you out at $44 an hour. I'd be like, ugh. I don't want to tell people I'm under, but those are incredibly professional jobs. There's dignity in it. They make a good living wage, and there's a lot of skill to it. I never realized how much skill was involved in some of those driver training programs. Not just anybody with a clean driving record can do it. There's a lot of skill and a lot of education involved, and I think that, the pay and benefits that they command are well deserved, and we're trying to help some of our customers and some of our contractors fulfill those needs by giving them people that can step right in and go to work and do those jobs for them.
The people that work picking up garbage, they're called sanitary engineers. Just remember that, Gary.
Sanitary, yeah. Just like, you know, I'm an insulator by trade. So when I first met my wife, you know, I didn't know really what to tell her. And she says, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a geothermal nuclear technician. Because I was working on a nuclear plant at the time. So she's like, what does that mean? I'm like, I cover pipes. But it sounded cool. Looked good in the wedding announcement, too. Geothermal nuclear technician.
There you go. There's a fancy description for just about anything out there. Gotta love that.
Absolutely.
Gotta love that. Well, yeah. One more question here on these driving futures and building futures. Now, this is targeted kids right in high school. They get out of high school. And is it just exclusive to Columbus right now?
I'm glad you asked, because it's kind of funny. It's for any Franklin County resident. And yes, we've been targeting kids right out of high school because it seems like that's where we have a lot of success. But we're having a lot of success with restored citizens. We're having a lot of success with people who, like I said, may have been left behind by the economy and maybe need some retraining to get into a job that pays a good career. But also, I've been doing a lot of outreach to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders and explaining to them about, you know, building trades and stuff. I spoke to a group of 8th graders a couple weeks ago, and there was parents there as well, because they wanted to hear what I had to say. And I talked about the importance of math, the importance of showing up every day on time. And, you know, if you do all that and you graduate high school, I can find you a job making a very good living with a great benefit package. And the parents were just astounded. And I think it opened up a lot of their eyes, and it opened up a lot of the kids' eyes to some of the potential job and career opportunities that are out there, you know, not alone just going to college, but also taking college classes and going through our apprenticeship programs and getting training and learning a skill that you're never going to lose.
Well, this is a good time to plug the apprenticeship fair, which is returning to Max Hayes High School. Perfect school for this. Again, it's March 19th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Max Hayes High School, which is located at 2211 West 65th Street in Cleveland. You want to get some more information, call Doreen Cannon. This number, 216-459-2900, extension 143. The last one, they had, I think it was about 300 people. Now, you did some posting on this on your, what, on your Facebook page, your website down in Columbus as well?
Facebook and Twitter, absolutely, trying to bounce it around and get the word out there for anybody that's interested in a career in the trades that lives in the Cleveland area. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's so important we get that word out. And we've talked a couple of times. You get a lot of people at these fairs, and then just a couple say, yeah, I'm interested. There's this constant push to go to college. And I'm just thinking here, with all the student debt out there, I was just reading the Federal Reserve System. Apparently, U.S. student loan borrowers collected $1.6 trillion in federal and private student loan debt as of March of last year. And they figured that the average student loan debt per person in the country is now $31,172. And yeah, I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of them out there, my daughter included, that's probably double, triple that. So it's something that when you're thinking about a good career, a pathway to the middle class, I love that line. I love that line. I keep using that on the show. So thank you for that line. Because
you can use it anytime.
Because that's what it is. That's what it is. You're earning while you're learning. That's the whole thing. And hopefully this message will resonate some more. We just got to keep pounding that message, don't you think?
I do. I think that we've got to keep pounding that message. And, you know, like we said before, we got to keep letting parents know. We've got to keep letting school counselors know, teachers know that there is these opportunities there, you know, for kids who like to work with their hands and who want to get into a career, like we said, that is very lucrative but is also debt-free.
There you go. All right, my friend, you take care. We'll talk to you next month. Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org, Twitter handle BuildCentralOH. We'll talk to you in April, my friend, okay?
We will be post-gaming opening day and getting ready for an exciting baseball season. Absolutely. I cannot wait. So I'll talk to you soon. Have a good weekend. Thanks.
You take care. Dorsey Hager on our live line. All right, we're going to take a break.